they're doing today. But
that would solve so many of our problems in the abortion issue, you name it, just overnight, if they had to do that. So I'm behind that 100%. I'm helping in Arizona to get that going, and we've got to do it all over the country, because I can't think of anything within months that would change the system so drastically as that amendment.
Any other questions? I was just curious as to when they kept firing you, why didn't you just go to another police department and get a job somewhere else? And you have been telling us about police overstepping their bounds, and I'm sure there is a lot of brutality. In Dallas, it seems that police don't do anything. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about the crime situation in Dallas, but it's almost like the sorriest people in the world live in Dallas. The crime is just unbelievable.
I heard of South Dallas. I know something about that. I got it off the TV. They did a real good article of the citizens becoming involved. The minority citizens in South Dallas are forming some real neat organizations to attack the drug problem and everything. What I would like to do, if I had the time, is get them the truth of where the drugs are coming from. Those black citizens, especially through Farrakhan and some of the black Muslims, although they're not aligned with us in many ways, they need to know the truth, and they're a power to be dealt with. And if they ever find out that it's Bush and his gang doing these things, I'm telling you, Bush got a problem, because their children are dying daily from these problems. And I would like to have the time, but somebody ought to have the time to reach these groups and let them know what you and I know now, that this is being done on purpose, because they're taken to the streets in South Dallas, and I think it's great. It's just they need to be educated. Yeah.
What about the idea that the Supreme Court said these roadblocks do not violate our privacy?
Okay. I started an organization in 1980 in Phoenix, Arizona, called the American Citizens and Lawmen Association. And that's the group that went to Arkansas and did the investigation into the Gordon Call execution, or the alleged Gordon Call. We also, when the roadblocks came out in Arizona, we filed an amicus curiae brief with the courts, along with all people, the ACLU. We found ourselves filing a friend of the court brief with ACLU against the roadblock. And we are totally against 99% of what ACLU is doing. But in this particular case, they said the roadblocks were unconstitutional. Law enforcement officers know it is, because here's what law enforcement are saying under their breath. They'll never say it in the media. But we know if you can stop a car today, just at random, if you think a person is drunk without any evidence that the person is drunk, tomorrow we can stop you if there's burglaries in the area. You know, my beat has burglaries. So why, if I can stop you and I don't know you're drunk, to check you out, see if you're drunk, I can start stopping you soon, because you may be a burglar, you may be a rapist, I'll just stop you and we're going to check you out. So, you see, you can't have it, you can't allow that to happen for drunk driving, which is a crime, and not open the gate for stopping people for anything that could be a crime. If we don't have to have any probable cause to stop you because we think you're drunk, we don't need any probable cause to stop you for anything else. Very dangerous, and we're just letting that one slide by, it seems like, most of the citizens. They don't understand that. Law enforcement understands what it's doing and what it's going to give us in the way of power in the near future.
I would like your opinion, please. Back one question. These things that are happening as far as the violence and so forth, as you say, they're just kind of... I'd like your opinion. Do you feel this is somebody giving orders somewhere to one or two individuals who are then hyping up the group? Or do you feel it's just a result of the training, that people get a little overzealous and just feel that they can automatically take the law in their own hands and go that way?
Do you mean violence against the patriot community?
Against the patriots, against the common American people.
Okay, both. You have both here. You see, the training police officers are getting today are to prepare them for a totalitarian system. We already have an oligarchy, that's going to shift if we don't get busy and do some of the things that Larry and some of the others here are talking about today. But this is both. The patriots are the most hated people in our nation by our government, because they're the only ones trying to nonviolently have their day in court or whatever else, redress their grievances. And you are the most dangerous people to this form of government, and I say again, praise God that you are. I'm very pleased. And I hope you'll continue to be the most dangerous people nonviolently to this form of government that we have. The only way we're going to change it. But it's both. They hate you because you are a threat to them doing what they want to do in this nation and the world. And so it's like the old kamikaze pilot. The government knows, just like we learned during the war with the Japanese, that once that plane is coming down on you and a man's not afraid to die for what he believes in, you're in deep stuff. You know? Well, it doesn't happen in my department that we say, let's go out and shoot, oh, what's his name today? No, that's not the way it happens. But there's this training and education through different organizations, like the ADL comes in and tells us who the bad guys are, which is always the Christian patriots, you know, racist, posse comitatus, all you evil, whatever the name is they're using that week. And so it hinks the police up. Oh, my God, we got some of these people in the community. I stopped a guy the other day that talked about his driver's license. He must be one of these desperate. So you got a hair trigger now, see, and they're being told you can't be rehabilitated. And it's obvious if you talk to one of these guys out here that are Christians and they love their country and everything, he can't be rehabilitated, so you're worthless to the form of government that's coming. You see, so there's this anxiety in government, too, that you're worthless. We can't put you in jail and retrain you unless we get the right to one day to go inside your being and do things. Maybe that'll work one day. But I think it's just the frustration of government that this movement is growing and they don't know what to do with us. It's counter to where they want to go with our government.
I just want to ask you a question. Do you know about here in Dallas, it's up by Beltline, in Addison, I believe, up there. They have a law enforcement television network up there. Are you aware of that, and that they broadcast daily to police officers all over the nation and training for drug busts and this, that, and other?
Never heard of it.
I happen to service these people with the business that I have. And they've got, the big TV, those big round dishes, you know.
Yeah.
They've got probably 50 or 60 of them around this big office building up there. And they are broadcasting all over the nation. I read a little brochure that they had there.
I'd like to get one of those.
And so I think that would be one place that you might want to pay a visit to see if you could get some of this on the air to them. Because I'm very involved with an individual from Fargo, North Dakota, up around the Gordon Call thing.
Len Martin?
Yeah. With a very, very good patriot group. In fact, 17 officers came in the other night. I furnish a vehicle for a man to drive up there that's big in the patriot movement. And they came in the other night, and I had a computer and printer and this, that, and other there that they were using to help the patriots in their fight against foreclosures. And the 17 officers came in with sawed-off shotguns. They made them 4.5 hours there. They took all the man's records. They took my computer and my printer and all my software. And, of course, it wasn't the man's. It belonged to me, but I furnished it for him there. And they held him there at gunpoint for 4.5 hours and took the man's mother and daddy's wedding ring and all their money and everything in the home. They just devastated the home.
Yeah.
And then he was arrested a little later, and they had to drop the charges on that. I've since heard about that. And it's terrible what's going on. I mean, it's like it's another world in North Dakota. I don't understand the situation.
It's not just North Dakota. But let me tell you, that little gal in the blue dress back there was held at gunpoint, 60 years of age. She's got a heart problem. She's a dear, beautiful sister. That works full-time for me on Aid and Abet for free and has for years, dedicated her and her husband to the Patriot Movement. She was held at gunpoint by 30 federal agency a few months ago in her nightgown for 9 hours, sitting in a chair. She wasn't under arrest in her own home, but they wouldn't let her leave, so they literally kidnapped her. And let me tell you something really scary and that you should be aware of. Now, this really concerns me because I love that little gal so dearly and her husband, but something very mysterious happened. Everybody in law enforcement knows one of the cardinal sins in making an arrest or a search of a home is you never, ever let a person have the freedom to move about in the home to where they could get to a weapon. You never do that. You just don't do it. You don't give them any. You don't let them do things. You don't. They say, "Well, I got to go to the bathroom." No. You go with them, and you be sure they can't get to a weapon, and so forth. But in her particular case, I think there's such hatred about her and her husband because he was running NCBA in Arizona, doing a masterful job. Some of you know what NCBA is. I was a part of it. They raided their home, arrested the husband, took him out of there, and held her at gunpoint for 9 hours. But they told her, they said, all these agents with guns drawn around her say, "Do you have any guns in the house?" And she says, "Yes." And she's in her nightrobe, and she's all these guns pointed out, and they said, "Well, go get it." And so Theresa looked at all these guns, and she says, "No." And they said, "Well, you better go get it." And she said, "Well, I'll show you where it's at, but I'm not touching it." So they had her, they forced her to go to the bedroom, and she pointed to a dresser drawer and says, "It's in there under my undergarments." And they said, "Go get it." And she refused again. And they tried to force her to go pick up that weapon. Now, I know what that means. All those guns are on her. And if she'd have touched that weapon, she'd have had her prints on it, and she'd have been dead right there in the room. So, my folks, it's getting scary out here. It's getting scary out here. She had the common sense to say, "No way, you shoot me right here, right now. And I'm not having that gun in my hand when I go down." So, I mean, here's a little grandma. These people are afraid of you, you know. Be careful and be smart, okay? Just be smart, because they're deathly afraid of you. You are the only threat to them doing in this nation what they want to do. And we need to grow in numbers and be a bigger threat is what we need to do. Nonviolent threat. I keep wanting to add that because this is being recorded not just by these folks, I'm sure, but by some other. And I don't want to encourage violence. What we're trying to do here is stop violence from coming that will come if we're not successful. Because it's going to come if we don't win our nonviolent struggle to redress our grievances.
This is the last question.
Okay.
There are some of us today that are being educated that our fingerprints are our property and that we do not have to relinquish them in an arrest situation. And that, of course, if they tell us to give it to them and we do, then it's still voluntary. But if we refuse, we have the right to refuse. And I have, I don't really know about it really well myself, but I understand this to be true in some way. So, and I get reports of people that refuse to give their fingerprints and how they wrestle down, their arms are numb and blue and fingers almost broken and then taken from them. I'm interested in what the police are taught about this, if they're aware of this, if this is the case. And if that is the case, what really concerned me beyond this is that I heard the other day that, this is all hearsay, that might be mixed up, but that the Supreme Court ruled that you can just as well take bodily fluids from someone and use them as evidence without their consent, as well as they have been in the practice of taking fingerprints. So all this really concerns me. And I don't know what could be more private than your bodily fluids. So anyway, if you could comment on all this, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, you're correct. The Fourth and Fifth Amendment are our protections over our property and us not having to be a witness against ourselves. And definitely, when they take bodily fluids, they take your fingerprints, they take your photograph, all these things without your consent, it is a violation of those constitutional rights. But as you know, the big kahunas that said they're going to interpret the Constitution, and matter of fact, they've told us today they are the Constitution, the Supreme Court, no longer says that they interpret the Constitution. They say we are the Constitution, have taken that right from us temporarily. Will we get it back? That's up to us. But right now, it's a violation. You should not have to do these things. But law enforcement is told you will give your prints. Now, I've heard in certain areas when people say, "No, I won't give you my prints because that's my right under the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. I won't give them to you." And they haven't had their fingers broken. They haven't been wrestled down and so forth. But others have. So you'll be in that position. You've got to decide what you're going to do. What I suggest to us doing, so we're not maimed and injured, it's serious, serious business to resist violently or physically in any regard. Here's what happens. Officers are trained today, and it happens right in the city of Phoenix. I've seen it. Okay, that if you refuse to give your prints, and we have to struggle with you to get your prints, all of a sudden an officer hollers that he's hurt his arm, that you've hurt his arm, or that you've twisted his wrist, or that he fell trying to get you to get your prints. Now it's assault on a police officer. They got you for a felony. So you got to be very careful. That's being used more and more now. If you resist, especially patriots, anybody listed as a constitutional or anything, they're using this on you all the time. If they ask you for something, I suggest you state very loudly that you contest this, that you're doing it under duress, and it's a violation of your rights, and then don't resist physically, because if that officer decides to fake an injury, you're going down for a felony, and that's exactly what they got you in there for anyway. That's what they want. They want you for a felony. They don't want, just like the IRS, they don't want this year in the slam now for willful failure to file. They want the felony, man. And they're doing that all over the country. So think about it. I can't tell you what to do, but that's what they're doing now as a technique for getting you on a felony when it might have just been a traffic ticket or something that you're down there for. Okay.
Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you all very much.